Welcome all cutthroats and shadows to the dark and silent corners of D&D in Big D. When the enemy watches your every movement, they go unnoticed. When the odds are stacked high, they guarantee success. When you need to get the job done, but you can't get your hands dirty, they strike. They are the Ninth Cannoneers. Follow the adventures of this covert Special Forces D&D Black Ops team as they topple empires, neutralize threats, and complete deadly missions by any means necessary. In today's episode, the Ninth Cannoneers continue to chase down Captain Bartholomew Black Dagger and his henchmen through the House of Light. Stand by as their mission begins.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can I?
Yeah.
Before we start, can we go through who we're playing again? I mean, I will just start and just refresh your memories. Okay. I'm playing the amazing Orion, who's a tiefling. He pretends to be a mage with various flashy things, but is only a rogue. But he has a silver tongue and, gets through life this way.
Okay, next up is Mervish.
Oh, well, Mervish is a water genasi, who is not very used to be among people, but likes those people that he is sharing time with when he does. And so it could be quite shy with all the other people.
But not with us. You know us, right?
Yeah, he does, he does.
We're cool.
And, okay, Sai, you're up.
Right, I am playing Syvira Brandywood, also known as Sai, who's a female Lightfoot halfling. I'm only 2'9", so I am tiny. And I am a cleric. And pretty friendly. I tend to adopt absolutely everyone I meet because I'm desperate for a family. Also, I forgot to mention this last time, but actually boats make me seasick. But that doesn't stop me from adventuring, because, I should have been doing some constitution saving throws, I think, in the beginning, but we'll just skip that for now.
Okay, and lastly, Jordan.
I am playing Frostrath Flintarm, a male dwarf mountain barbarian. He was brought up in the church, but he didn't quite have the temperament for it, so he went on to be an adventurer and sailed the seas, and he has now found himself with the Ninth Cannoneers.
I have one last question. You said in the beginning that there were only 8 cannons on board of the ship. Is this correct?
That's correct.
Why? What does it mean to be the Ninth Cannoneer?
It means it's the code that the captain has for her special operations.
So it's not that they don't trust us with the cannons, because we proved we are pretty efficient with the cannons.
I'm the Ninth Cannon.
Yeah, you are. You're definitely.
Just point me at the problem and watch me explode.
That's her way of keeping you on her ship without causing too much suspicion, although everyone is suspicious of a Ninth Cannoneer team when there's only 8 cannons.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And also, because there are special forces, you have advantage 3 times a day on any rolls.
Okay, cool.
And we'll say that's the Ninth Cannoneer feat.
Wow.
So each or?
Each. Yes, each.
Right. I add that to my character sheet.
I think we're good. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
All right. Everyone's entering from the left. You can see a little bit of the set of stairs going into a large chamber.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You descend an uneven stair into the darkness. Eventually, the descent culminates in an octagonal chamber lined with tapestries with 4 ornately carved stone pillars supporting the arched ceiling. In each corner of the room stands a small desk. A briny stench emanates from the eastern passage.
Ew. Who's going first?
Well, I think I was going down the stairs first because I was chasing the ghosty captain person.
Yeah.
Obviously, you described at the end of the last session where we saw some people. Do we still see them, or have they disappeared off in some direction?
They've disappeared off in some direction.
Do we see which way they went?
You do not see.
Yeah, I sort of run into this hallway and just... I can smell ya! And then I'm just going to run east.
Oh, here he goes again.
Okay, so next up, Amazing Orion.
Yeah, I'm following my dwarven friend.
And Mervish?
Oh, well, I never expected to say that, but I wouldn't like just to stay alone, so I will go after them.
I'm just going to follow. I mean, I don't want to be on my own.
All right. Everybody rushes through. You're going down the corridor and you see a dead end, but then to the right is a door, then to the left is another corridor that then L-shapes over to the right, going further east.
So Frostroth, where does the smell take you?
I was about to say, I reach the end of the hallway and just... Where are you? Can I smell anything?
You smell something.
I smell a smell. A smelly smell. A smelly dang. Smell that smells smelly.
SpongeBob ride.
It was, yes.
Go on.
Okay, I'm sorry, who wants to go on?
You.
Oh, me, okay. Like, oh, y'all are doing great, keep going. I'm eating this up. Okay, you smell something going down that corridor and then over to the right.
I, unless somebody stops me, will barrel around the corner.
Frostruff, you have to be careful. You have to stealth.
All you hear is, as I run down the hall. Yeah, so like following the smell to the left and round the corner.
All right, you run down the hall and you see four Kuo Toa in this room attempting to clear a cave-in. They
as I
stop.
Approach, do they look hostile?
Well, they're busy working, but as soon as they see you, they turn around with their shovels and one of them picks up a weapon. And let's roll for some initiative.
Ooh.
All right. Nice.
We're actually roll a dice, not click a button. Ooh, 9.
I got a 21.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I have a 14.
I have a 7. 8.
So that was 9, 7, 21. And Marvish, what was that?
14.
14. Okay. First up is the amazing Orion. All you hear is, ah!
I mean, Frostruff is in front of me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to hold my attack until one of the enemies comes into 5 feet of Frostruff.
Okay, next up is Mervish.
Well, so I arrive in the room and see these creatures. They don't seem to be friendly, aren't they?
No, they're grabbing their weapons and whatever they can get their hands on.
Okay, so I cast a Sheila Lag so to get ready to fight if they start.
Okay, all right. Next up is two of the Kuota who go after the screaming fella.
So I realized that it's going to have been more than a minute since I was last in combat.
Mm-hmm.
And I have exhaustion.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're a frenzy, right?
I have a frenzy. Barbarian, and I frenzied. So I'm just double checking what that means. I have disadvantage on ability checks. That's right. It doesn't affect my attack rolls yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
Is this something like you could heal with a lesser restoration if somebody has that?
I think the only way to get over exhaustion is to rest.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so one of them attacks with a 14.
That does not hit.
Okay.
So when this guy comes in range with Frostruff, I would shoot at it.
Okay.
Because that's for sneaky damage.
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay, I use my first advantage. Oh, that's a natty 20, natty 20. Oh my god, this will be brutal.
All right, nat 20 hits.
10.
I'm going to assume that you don't need to roll for this.
That's 20 damage.
Is that doubled?
Yeah, that's already doubled, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So with a 20 damage, describe how you kill this guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I put it right through an eye, which just flows out together with the arrow out of the back of its head.
Okay, then roll another damage.
Okay, why?
Just it.
Oh my god. Okay, those are 3 sixes. Oh. I mean,
And Asmodeus himself appears in the room.
It's 22 damage.
Okay, so with that nat 20, that arrow does go through that Kuo Toa as well as the one standing behind him.
Wow.
And you drop both of them.
Frostruff just goes, huh.
It was one of my famous magic arrows of heat-seeking fish kill.
I thought Kuo Toa were cold-blooded.
Yes, that's why they heat them up beforehand.
Ah, Frostruff taps his temple. I see.
All right, next up is Frostruff.
I'm going to move up to the nearest one, and I'm going to try and hit him.
All right, roll it.
That is a 19 plus 9.
Barely hits.
Barely hits. And that is a fucking, jeez, that's 12 plus 6 damage. 18 damage, and I get a second attack if it's still alive.
It is not.
Then I move on to the next one, and I'm going to attack again. That is a 16 plus 9.
That two barely hits.
25, yes.
Yeah.
So, another d12. That one isn't a 12 this time. That's only an 8 plus 6. So 14 damage for the second one.
You level that one. And it is bleeding out profusely.
See, what did I tell you? Cold-blooded as he runs some over his hands.
Next up is Sai.
Right, is there anything left for me to kill?
Yes, that one that's leveled still has some life left in it.
All right, I'm going to Sacred Flame it.
Put it out of its misery, my God.
Yes, so that's a Dex 13 save.
All right. And that is a very hefty, hefty 2.
Ooh.
Nice.
So let's see if 2d8, so...
That's pretty high if you're still doing...
10, oh. No, 10. I can't do math.
All right, so describe the smell to me of its death.
Well, burning flesh in general is really bad. Sacred flame, not very good either. So it's a pretty nasty barbecue smell, I would imagine.
I do think it smells like smoked haddock.
Yeah, but a bit worse if it's... probably more to a trout. Let's go for that one.
Duly noted. And we are out of combat. Hooray!
Hooray! We all survived.
That was a close one.
Well,
has anyone taken any hits?
No.
Oh. They didn't have time to do that.
Well, they tried to hit me and failed.
Okay, so you're in this room where you see a cave-in to the east, and then what looks like a tunnel leading to that area is trapped with a collapsing roof to the south.
Oh, man. That's a trap.
That's a trap.
You weren't meant to tell us that. I go into the room to the south.
Whoops. Okay, listeners, everybody out there, it's a trapped roof. Don't give that away.
Yeah, I pretending that we haven't been told that, I'm going to walk into the room to the south because I was planning on investigating in there anyway.
Okay.
This looks perfectly safe, guys. Let's go.
Yes, yeah. The roof looks completely safe and doesn't look like it will cave in at any second. Oh, no! I'm not looking for the tripwire. When the trap is triggered, any creature beneath must make a DC 15 dexterity saving throw or take 4d10 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Or half as much on a success. And I will roll a dex check, but since I am a barbarian, I do so at advantage.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you got a danger sense.
Danger, danger.
Danger
sense. Lapsing ceiling. Well, that could have gone better.
Well, it can go better. You roll at advantage, right?
I did.
Well, roll. I didn't hear you. Go ahead and roll advantage.
I will roll advantage.
Bad audio.
Wow.
Goodness.
There's only so many times I can do that. I rolled a 3, a 5, and a 3.
Solid.
I'm sorry, I didn't get any of that. Can you roll again, please?
Oh my God.
Oh, come on.
What is the likelihood of such?
That one was 6. I mean, at this point, I think the dice want me to get hurt. I have plenty of hit points. Just roll with it.
All right. And with that, it triggers this collapsing roof. Whoa. Everybody is shocked.
Okay. Guys, come on this way.
My God.
The room looks perfectly... Oh, shit.
I will roll 4d10. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's a 1, a 3, a 2, and a 3.
9 damage?
9 damage.
That is fine. Even if you'd ruled max damage, that still would have been like 2/3 of my health.
Wait. Roll me an athletics check right now.
That's better. That's a 16 plus 7, so 23.
Okay, you take the damage, but you're quick on your feet, and you Samson that roof right over your head.
All right, guys, come have a look.
Jesus. Okay. Everybody back up slowly.
No, really, guys. It's fine. Come and have a look.
I'm just going to get ready, like...
Further back.
I leap and tumble backwards into the room where everyone else is, not into the room that's trapped.
As soon as you do, then that stench immediately clears away.
There's not a new stench.
Somebody has prestidigitation.
Sorry about that, guys.
You can stop now. It's okay. You're safe.
Men.
It's men. She says to the one who just had a roof fall on him.
Always having those roof fallings on them.
Yeah, again, notice who went in first.
Yes, a meat shield. It's my job.
Do you need some healing?
I'm fine for now. Thanks, okay. Love. We'll sort that out later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the passage now completely blocked?
It is completely blocked now, yes.
Oh. Well, Frostruff, do you think it's worth you digging through there, or are we just checking out the other way?
Are you suggesting that just because I am a dwarf that I'm good at digging? Because you'd be correct. Yes, I could try and burrow my way through here, but should we investigate one of the passages that we came by earlier? Or maybe try and go the way that those little creatures were trying to burrow themselves?
Yeah, should we not look for the guys we were chasing?
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, we could double back. We passed some other closed doors.
So is there any sign in here that the people we were chasing went past?
Yeah, let's roll an investigation check.
That's a 13.
That's a 9 minus 1, 8.
Is everybody supposed to roll for investigation?
It's up to y'all.
Well, I mean, if everybody gets their like magnifying glasses out, I do so too. It's a natural 20.
Wow.
You see everything.
Oh my god, do I also see Frostruff's underpants?
You kind of look over. I'm trying to make it look like I'm investigating the room, but you just see me just sort of like lift my leg a little and shake it.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, I've had that patience.
You see one of the couturiers, you see one of their outfits, you rip off a piece and, you know, tidy up a bit with it.
Yeah. I kind of look over my shoulder to see if anyone's looking and then just...
Everybody is totally staring away.
It's giving you a moment, just... All right. Good. Okay.
And fascinating floor, really.
Look at the stonework.
The masonry here is really good.
It's all rubble. Okay, let me see. With a 13, Sai, you find a little bottle of Purell in one of the couturiers there.
Excellent.
Oh, amazing, Orion. With a natural 20, you can absolutely tell that the captain and his minions did not go down this way. And
I can't feel any spiritual power from this room. I think we have to try somewhere else.
Okay, so what do you suggest?
Well, we can double back and look north.
Sounds as good a plan as any.
Hey, lead the way.
When we go back, we look at the door. So is this door closed or open?
That door is closed. And with a natural 20, I will say that it looks like it has not been opened. And you can determine that the captain did not go this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we can go back to the octagon room. Or do we want to check out the small room?
I will move to the octagonal room. We don't want him to run away.
No, we don't want them to get too far away.
Yeah.
They're evil.
Okay, then. Yeah. Most likely.
Okay, everybody goes back into the octagonal room. And again, with that natural 20, I will keep it going. You do notice some ectoplasm leading into the north. That clearly Frostdraft missed in his enraged state to pursue.
More worried about the smell.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just looking here. Wait, how do you search for traps?
Perception or investigation?
Can't do neither. Can anybody like percept or investigate?
I have a plus one to investigation, so I can try.
Well, it's better than my minus one.
Same here.
Okay, then I guess, I mean, I have a plus two, so should I lead the way?
I'll assist you.
Okay, well, I mean, okay, we go north and I search for traps along the way so the roof doesn't come down again.
Okay. Go ahead.
The ghosts had no legs, right? They were like hovering or incorporeal.
Oh no, they had legs.
Well, still looking for traps.
Okay. Down the corridor, you're leading yourself down. Go ahead and roll. Perception, investigation.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's a 16.
With a 16, you have a sense that there are no traps down this way. This is more of a place of worship, and having traps doesn't seem to fit this area, so you're able to move around a little bit more freely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well then, Frostruff, you take point. I feel there are no traps here.
They know more. And I step into the room. I'm just going where he pointed me to. I wasn't sure how far along we were.
Okay. Yeah, I just point north.
So you point north. Everyone's walking down this elongated corridor until you reach an uneven stair into the darkness. The descent culminates into an octagonal chamber lined with tapestries with four ornately carved stone pillars supporting the arched ceiling. In each corner of the room stands a small desk, a briny stand. Hold on, no.
That's where we came from.
In the one where we're going, there's lots of Dragon Ball.
No, that's it. Unless it's okay. A misprint. Misprint. Found our first one.
Hey.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. Uneven stare into the darkness. Eventually, wow, that is the same thing. Huh. See, what I try not to do is study too much of the material, so I'm just as shocked by everything as you are. Okay, so the floor in this room is difficult terrain. Any creature... Oh, hold on. No, I can't read that part. The stairs descend 50 feet to the floor level. You can tell that it goes, 50 feet to the floor level. The height of the ceiling is around 70 feet. However, there is 30 feet of water in this room. Mm-hmm. You can tell it's salty water to the height of 20 feet and is an opaque gray-green. It reduces everyone's vision down to 10 feet going through there. Y'all do see a statue and a stone door in the southeast corner. Ooh, I should turn that down.
So is the door in the southeast wall underwater then if there's 30 feet of water?
That is correct.
Okay.
Oh, no.
What does the statue look like?
It looks statuesque. How about a...
I'm gonna cast light so we get a better view. It's just a cantrip, so...
Okay, roll me a religion check, Sai.
Yep. 6 plus 4, not 2, correct. I'm a bad cleric, guys.
Don't forget, we have our 9th cannoneer advantages.
True, maybe I'll just...
Yeah, not for religion checks.
Nah, fuck it. I'll just be really bad at my religion.
Okay, you can tell that it was probably some kind of god of some sort.
Probably god.
And let's see, does anybody speak deep speech?
Oh,
nope.
Okay, moving on.
I'm asking...
I took primordial, damn it.
I'm asking Sai, can you cast light on this arrow here?
Sure. And I'll touch the arrow and cast light on it.
Nice. So the arrow is now glowing, and I shoot it into the water.
All right. When you do notice that, like I described, that the water is a bit opaque, gray-green. You can see it still, but it's rather hazy.
Yeah, I was just waiting for some kind of monster to appear, but
nothing.
Since this doesn't happen, I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm. So shall we go into the water?
I think it's safe, but maybe you should go first.
Well, okay, I can do that, but maybe before going down I can cast water breathing.
Nice.
So we can all breathe under the water.
I mean, I don't want to assume anything, but water is your elemental, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Good.
So I do cast the spell on everybody and then I go down in the water. Well, there's a door, isn't it?
Yes.
I go toward the door, yeah.
Okay, you do notice that the door is slightly cracked open.
Okay, can I see something?
I just roll investigation.
Okay, and it's a natural 20.
So with a natural 20, you see the sword wraith warrior on the other side along with 3 skeletons.
Oh, people, it seems that we have company here.
As soon as you say that, the door flies open and out they come.
Oh no.
Perfect.
Oh, no.
Perfect. I was just about to say, lure them inside.
All right, so let me roll their initiative.
Are we all now underwater if we've followed him?
Well, as far as I know, no.
Yeah, okay. I had stayed just at the edge, like where the steps just meet the water. I haven't gone in yet.
Yeah, I hate water.
Even though you can breathe it?
Yeah, even more so.
I'm not looking forward to this. I'm wearing heavy armor.
But you can breathe underwater.
Well, yeah, but still.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's perfect. Yeah, just, you don't even need to swim.
Yeah, and someone just throw me in and I'll be like a cannonball.
We should have brought a cannon.
Oh, we should. Lesson for next time, guys.
All right, so it's going to go with the Amazing Orion. One skeleton, then Mervish, Frostdraft, another skeleton, Sai, and then the last skeleton. And the Sword Wraith Warrior in there, somewhere in between.
Okay, I will again wait till one... I will wait till the first enemy closes with Mervish, and then I will shoot it.
Okay.
And I will use...
And you what?
I will use Fire Arrow.
Okay. And the first skeleton goes to attack Mervish.
Oh.
With a 12.
Oh, no, can't it?
Okay, so the first skeleton missed. And Mason Orion, did you want to shoot your arrow?
Yes, I will shoot it. Oh my god, that's a natural 20.
I want your dice!
Yeah, it's the orange one, it's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's... I mean... Oh god, that's 29 damage.
29 damage, I think.
Which of fire?
So here's what you see. You sling that fire through the water.
Oh right, it's napalm. I forgot to say that.
And towards the skeleton. Now, you said it was how much damage?
29.
So with that 29 damage, you obliterate that first skeleton with all that raging fire underwater, and because it is magically enchanted fire, napalm, then that then blasts the other two skeletons. And with the surrounding water, it immediately turns into steam and causes another double damage.
Oh, nice.
I mean, that makes sense, right? That checks out, right?
Yeah. And anyone who's been to a sauna will know that's how it works.
Exactly. And so with that, all three skeletons are now down. And the Sword Wraith Warrior is highly damaged.
That's a lot of damage.
All right, next up is Mervish.
Okay, so there are no more skeletons.
Nope, just the Sword Wraith Warrior in front of you.
Okay, so I have to try to attack him. I cast Shilalag, and then I try to hit him with the club. So it's... just a 9.
Describe how you destroy this creature.
Get him!
Oh, well, I'm trying to hit him with the club, and it seems that I do that, even if I wasn't that sure. And at the end, the club just take his head off. Is him a skeleton or something like that?
It's more of a like a phantasm.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. See. So what the club does is just it goes from his head down and divided in two parts, and each one is disappearing while going apart from the other.
Yikes. You cause bludgeoning damage on a ghost.
Oh, well, it's a shilalag now. It's a magic damage.
And they all dissipate immediately. All right, and y'all got past that little encounter.
Throstraff just with his axe raised, like, ah, all right then.
You can have the next one.
I mean, I'd be lying if I wasn't.
So is everyone going through the door?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you do, you are immediately in this ginormous flooded library. The chamber ahead was clearly used as a library, but the books have been removed and the place is entirely flooded with stagnant, briny water. The place reeks of rotten fish and damp.
Well, can we smell that if we're still underwater?
I will say yes. This is magical. Okay. Magical
stuff. I mean, we also have water breathing, so I guess we also have water smelling in a sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. It checks out.
Oh, this makes me want to drown.
It makes you want to drown?
Yeah, it's awful. Does no one else have an issue with this?
I mean,
bloop.
Yeah, you spend the first 9 months of your life breathing water anyway.
Oh,
that's so sweet. And a bit disgusting.
Let's see. Guarding the entrance is a suit of armor covered entirely of viscous slime.
Ooh.
You see Bartholomew Black Dagger. You see his other fella there, the white. You see one priest, and you see a second priest. One of the priests has two Kuotoa whips with him, and there's this other strange creature. It's like a three-eyed leech with multiple...
Oh, legs. No.
Yes.
A three-eyed leech? I'm
Hold on. I know what it is. I'll put a picture in. Just had to make sure I'll put the name in.
Maybe I don't even want to see it.
Oh, great. Nightmares for days.
Where are you putting it? Discord? Or,
I'm going to put it in Discord. I'm trying to get an image that doesn't put the name in with it.
Whoa.
Yep, yeah. That's it. Yep.
We did.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah.
Nice adventuring with you guys. It's been good.
I know what that thing is. And I hope he doesn't make us fight it.
Yeah, so me or it?
You.
Oh, okay.
And did I understand it correctly? There's a priest, which is like a human or an elf, and he has two whips.
Because of the dankness of the water, you just see that there are two humanoid-looking priests.
Okay.
And one of them has a Kuotoa whips.
Okay, so he looks like he's an evil guy, not like someone who's...
Yeah, no, so you see one of the priests has two of those Kuotoas that you fought earlier on either side of them. And everybody roll a very quick perception check.
Hmm? Well, I got a 19.
11.
That is a 10.
Oh, I got a natural 20.
Man, you're on a roll.
Wow. Okay. So again, the ninth Cannoneer team, y'all have seen quite a bit. You have seen a lot of what we say here. You've seen a lot of shit.
That's also what we say here.
Yes. And so with that, there's not a whole lot that shocks you anymore. Some things catch you a little off guard, but again, you seem to always be prepared for anything that the realms have thrown at you. And what you notice immediately is that the priest with the two henchmen, Kuotoas, they are trying heavily to protect that creature that you see, the swimming leech with the many tails and the fins. You see the captain, Bartholomew Black Dagger, is deeply trying to go after that creature.
Okay.
And you see the one priest by himself trying to negotiate or communicate with the first priest, and is looks like he's starting to fail a little bit at trying to negotiate with a 20. That's all you can see. That's all you can tell.
So the priests are attacking or defending the leech?
One of them is protecting the leech.
The one with the whips?
Yes. The other one is attacking the leech, trying to negotiate with the other priest.
Uh-huh.
And while that's going on, the captain and his wife are trying to make for that leech.
Okay, then I will shoot at the captain.
All right. Then let's roll that attack. All right. This is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with your beer break. As always, I got to replenish my brew before I get back to the story. In the meantime, I want to talk about our sponsors. Common Ground Games, the number one D&D place of Dallas. They have tables running D&D games almost every night of the week. If you live in the Big D area and want to sign up to play, check out their main Facebook page for more information at Common Ground Game Store and their website, BoardGamesDallas.com. Common Ground Games, because we all have the same common ground of playing games. Dungeon Painter Studio is a powerful mat design tool for both the seasoned map maker and the beginner map sketcher. It comes with a lot of features to help you create your very own world maps, and remember that you can try the online version for free before you buy their highly affordable full version. Dungeon Painter Studio is available for purchase on Steam. And a real quick shout out to JVC Perry, creator of Call from the Deep. Give him a follow on Twitter and go buy Call from the Deep at DM's Guild. It's a gold bestseller and is currently sitting at number 15 in the most popular DM's Guild titles. And also, real quick, I got to mention the Ninth Cannoneers. Andrea Mafia is part of a creative team that makes RPG content in both English and Italian. He's currently working on a project called Tales of the Old World. If you've bought Monsters of the Old World, then you know that Tales from the Old World is going to be all kinds of badass. Jordan Carmichael from Modified Role. Jordan plays Ulreus Iaris, a tiefling bard on Modified Role, a mostly UK-based D&D 5e podcast. They just released their Season 1 recap, so be sure to check them out and support their podcast. Andrea Coffey. She's a professional cleric in the field of medicine and dives into cosplay in her off time. She recently celebrated Norwegian Mother's Day with her dear old mom this past weekend. That is February 9th. So now we would like to say Happy Mother's Day to her as well. Happy Mother's Day! And Kristen Eichhorn. Christian wanted me to drop a word about the Waterdeep Notice Boards 2 that is available at DM's Guild. If you've bought Call from the Deep, then the Waterdeep Notice Boards are a smart investment to give you even more context to explore and roleplay. Okay, next episode, real quick. DM Robulon from the epically epic podcast Epic Dungeons & Blackguards rejoins us next time for a stroll into the cold tundra. I'm not exactly 100% sure how the adventure will fare, but when he's on, you can always expect the best collaborative storytelling faux show. We're going to release that adventure in 2 weeks' time, mainly because of some upcoming scheduling / availability challenges. But in the meantime, please don't forget to subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcast ear candy. Follow us on Twitter, leave us a review, and don't forget to tell your friends about us. Well, that's all I got for the beer break. Thanks again to the Ninth Cannoneers cast for making this project a reality. Catch y'all next time. Let's roll that attack.
Okay, cool. I will use an acid arrow.
Come on. Don't fail me.
Oh, that's good. Oh my god, that's really good. That's 22 hit.
That hits.
And that's 10. Oh my god. That's 23 damage. 4 of which are acid.
Okay, with that acid damage, you see a lot of his materials begin to corrode rather rapidly.
All right, I remember he can heal somehow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And so now you have his attention.
Good. Frostruff, it's your turn. Go.
Are we back in initiative now, or is it just...
We're in initiative now that somebody already attacked. So next up is that strange creature that you see. And see, it takes a look at the one that just spat out the arrow, and I need you to roll a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom save, okay. No, it's not bad. That's 16.
You feel this pull in your mind, and you can tell that your arrow is trying to drift over towards the priest that's trying to negotiate, and you're able to shake it off. You're able to just clear your head real quick and then focus back on your target with the captain, and that's all that happens. Next up is the captain. Turns around, sees the four of you, like, ah, crap. And with a 14, heads over towards Frostdraft.
Oh, is it the 14 to hit?
Yes, sorry.
Sorry, that's a miss.
Okay.
I grin at him. Underwater.
Old friends.
With that, it looks back over at that leech of a creature and tries to roll a vengeful glare. And when he does, that leech automatically locks up and is paralyzed as you see it slowly start descending onto the floor of this enormous library chamber.
Okay.
Next up is that white as it comes over with its two long swords and attacks said creature. Whoa, that is vicious. So then that's going to be... Okay, so then you see this sucker walk up to the leech with no problems whatsoever and just pierce it with these two long swords, one right after the other. Next up, you see...
Make sushi.
You see the two Kuatoas move in and go after both the white and the captain. One of them misses the captain. The captain's able to parry while the white gets viciously attacked with...
I feel like we shouldn't have killed these Kuatoa in the beginning.
Oh, nobody knows we did it.
Yeah. It was the roof.
Yeah, absolutely the roof.
And then so with that, that Kuatoa hits, but it goes in with a bite, holds the white in place with its ferocious bite, and then with the other one, it stabs with its pincer staff, causing it 4 points of piercing damage. Next up, you see the two priests, both of them. And one of them goes to attack the other with a sacred flame and misses. And then the other one, again, you hear him repeat himself, "Let it go, let it go. You must let it go. It's not good for you. Just let it go." And the first priest that attacked is not listening at all. "Shut up. Just shut up. You don't know nothing." Next up, Mervishin, that's your turn.
Well, I'm not really sure about what's going on, but as I am in doubt, I'm going to attack the captain and I'm going to cast Frostbite. So I need a Constitution saving throw.
All right. And that is with a solid 3.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's good. So it's going to take some damage. It's 2d6, so it's 10 damage, and the target has disadvantage on the next weapon attack roll.
Okay, so this corporeal figure is now has some kind of has a little bit of solid feel to it now. It's a bit more solid. All right.
There is a numbing frost that is forming on that creature.
Where is it forming?
On the surface of the captain.
Which part of him?
That's very specific.
He's just asking for flavor. Like, where did you hit him?
Yeah, I see. Well, I think it will be very nice if we can see his head.
Okay, all right, there you go. See, I was thinking about like the foot maybe, so it can't move around. But no, head's good. Head's good.
Brain freeze.
Brain freeze. It is. All right, and next up is Frostdraff.
As Frostdraff attempts to threaten him underwater. Then I'm going to go into a frenzied rage, and I'm going to try and attack him 3 times.
Okay.
That is a 14, a 22, and a natural 20. Plus 9.
Wow. And you were attacking who?
The captain in front of me.
Okay. All of those hit.
Yes. That is so much damage.
Kill him.
So that's going to be 4d12 plus 22. No, 4d12 plus 18. Oh dear. That is 10, 21, 25, 33 plus 18 is 51 damage.
Wow.
So this captain has like come up in front of me. I've
good
just
Lord.
Grinned at him, and as it's gone to my turn, I've attempted to threaten him, and he couldn't understand me being underwater. And then I just heft my axe and just three times just swipe straight through the middle of him.
You do exactly that. With the frozen head, you can definitely have a better range on him, a better feel of exactly where he is. And you split the captain into two first mates. And immediately he disintegrates. As soon as he disintegrates, the white drops all of his weapons and immediately pulls away and goes away past y'all. And you can tell it's automatically leaving.
As it goes past me, I'm going to take an opportunity attack.
Go for it.
That is not great. That is I can't count, 17.
17 hits.
Okay, and that is... Ooh, another 12 plus 6 is 18 damage.
Jesus.
All right, anybody else want to take an attack of opportunity?
I can't.
I will if I can.
Everyone absolutely can.
Excellent. I'll use my mace. Let's see. Oh, no, that's a natural one.
Oh, dear.
Oh. I'm sorry, I got bad audio. Was that 21?
Yes.
All right, roll that damage.
Let's see. Ooh, great, for my 1d6. Ooh, 6.
Right on. And wait a minute, didn't you have didn't you cast Sacred Flame earlier too? A little bit of remnants of that on the tip of the mace?
Yeah, it might be, it might be. Oh, that's 2 sevens.
All you do is stick out the mace in front of you as the white takes one hit from Frostdraft, and it ricochets over to you, where then it does a somersault backwards as you clothesline it. And doing so disintegrates the white completely into mist.
Way to go, Sai.
Yeah, I did something useful.
Finally.
All right. Let's see. You see Leech kind of snap out of it, and then it immediately, you hear it say to the four of you, thank you, thank you. Now, would you like to join a noble cause? As it turns around and takes a tail swipe at the one priest by himself. You can see that it misses, and it takes two of its remaining tentacles, and you see it slap the priest once and twice, both of them causing 14 points of bludgeoning damage. You see that priest go down.
Ooh.
And immediately you hear that priest yell out, no, fight it, Atlavast, fight the damn thing. And in which case, the next priest with the two Kuatoa whips just points at him, and then the Kuatoas turn around and start walking towards it.
The priests, do they both have the same robes?
They do.
Okay.
It seems fishy. Unintended.
Amazing Orion, you have the floor.
Oh man. That's hard. I think I would shoot the Kuatoa.
All right.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I hate fish people.
What have they done to you?
Oh, okay. I don't. They killed my cat.
Favorite enemy. All right.
Oh man. That's not much. Let me see here. I mean, first of all, a 19 should hit.
It does hit.
Okay, so that's 4 piercing and 4 acid damage.
Okay, so total of 8. You hit it in the back of its shoulder, and it continues on to that priest. It ignores you being there at all.
And I'm yelling, stop it right there. This priest is under our protection until we know what's going on here.
Next up is Mervish.
Okay, so let's try to stop that creature. I conjure a giant octopus.
Whoa.
That's going to try to catch that creature. So I will roll my attack with a tentacle. It's 16.
Wait, the octopus is attacking the leech.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a large creature, so I think it can do that. Okay, so the damage is 12, and the DC for escaping the grappling is 16.
All right. It gets a solid 4.
And so the octopus is grappling the creature.
I mean, that's something that only happens in D&D, I guess.
Sentences I didn't think I'd hear today.
All right, so the giant octopus is a large beast in this tiny space. Very well.
We're all just squashed into the corners, just like, oh, ow.
Okay, all right. And with that, I see next up is Frostraff.
So just walk, because I'm really confused with the names of the priests. Walk me through who's attacking who currently.
Okay, priest one with his two Kuatuas are going for priest number two.
Okay.
Priest number two is trying to tell him to stand down and to fight it, fight the creature. And that's all he was saying. And then there's also the leech with the mini tails that nobody has yet to roll a perception check or history check or anything.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, does it look like when he's saying don't let it control you, because he's saying that to the one who's defending the creature, so it sounds like maybe the creature's controlling him?
Roll perception.
Okay. I mean, I was trying to figure out, is it going to maybe convince you to let me roll something else, but all of my rules that would work here are shit, because I'm only good at... Can I roll an insight?
Absolutely.
Because I'm slightly better at that. I'm only good at hitting things. That's a nat 20. Nat 20 plus 3.
Knowing what to hit is a very valid skill.
Indeed.
And so with
work out who I should be hitting.
Yes, and with that hit, you absolutely know that that creature is controlling the first priest.
Okay. Does that use up my action?
That's a free action.
Okay. Right, yes, well, I'm underwater. If I wasn't underwater, I'd say, right, yes, slimy bastard, you're next! And then I'm going to swim up to that thing and try and hit it three times.
Okay. I will say this, that in our podcast, we have made it canon that you can't talk underwater.
Oh, excellent. Then I say that. Oh, two all right rolls, one really bad roll. So 2 plus 9 is 11, 18 plus 9 is 27, 12 plus 9 is 21.
Okay, re-roll that bad one because it is currently restrained. Ooh. It is grappled.
Oh, then I'll re-roll all of them then because I might get a 20.
Could be three 20s.
Yeah, I'll re-roll the two. Actually, I'll just re-roll all of them. Here we go. Ooh, okay, so I didn't roll a natural 20, but I did get a 19 instead of a 2.
Okay, much better. All those hit.
And it's three hits. That is going to be... it's another 12. That is 23 plus 7... 30 plus 18, 48 damage.
That is a lot of damage.
That's a lot of damage. Flex tape can't fix that.
You're quickly turning it into sushi
sashimi.
Now.
Into sashimi. I swim forward and just sort of lunge at this thing with my great axe, just burying it into its side three times while just screaming.
When you do that, two of its tails come flinging off.
We'll be having sashimi tonight, boys.
They'll start flopping around everywhere, screening a little bit of black blood coming out, so it makes visibility a little bit worse.
I forgot to add my rage damage.
Oh. We'll add it now, dude.
That's another 6 damage.
Okay, that's a third stalk then. That's a third tail.
I'm guessing this is just a baby. Because if this was a real thing, I would not be doing this.
But then again, this would also make you a baby killer.
Oh.
You're implying that Throstaff hasn't killed a baby before.
Jesus.
Well, everybody hears in their minds right now, I am not a baby. There, now everyone feels
matter, I'm still going to gut you. That's my turn.
Okay, excellent. Next up is Sai.
That priest that got hit, is he down, or...?
No, he's not down. Not yet.
Okay. Anymore. No, okay. I was just like, because if he was, you'd spare the dying, but okay, we'll skip that for now.
We don't spare the dying here.
My job. Let's see. I'll summon Spirit Guardians.
Nice.
So that is an attack of a wisdom or a wisdom saving 13. So they flit around me in a distance of 15 feet. And they are a shape of little hummingbirds.
Oh.
So, and I'll make them attack the leech thing.
Oh.
It has to make a wisdom saving throw, and if it fails, it takes 3d8 radiant damage.
This is the worst leech of all time. It rolled a 6.
Right, let's see if my little hummingbirds can do anything at all. That's 21 points of damage.
Oh.
Solid.
So describe how you eliminate this this leech with your hummingbirds.
My little hummingbirds are going to flit around and just stab them with their tiny, tiny little needle beaks until it bleeds black into the water.
Oh, that's so brutal.
Wow.
And by a thousand cuts.
Yes. Well, you know, paper cuts are really, really painful. So if you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does that.
Can I throw that one bottle of Purell that I found at it at the same time?
Do it.
Because that will sting as fuck, so you know.
Can you clarify what is this?
The Purell? Oh, yes, hand sanitizer.
Antibac. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't have that exact one in Europe, but I knew what it was.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so whenever you throw it, roll me 10d4. Or should I make that 5d8? Would that be easier?
Hang on. I need to find my dice. But I've got more d8s at the moment.
Okay, I'll roll 5d8.
No, this is too many math. 20 points of damage.
Wow. Okay, and that's how much it stings as it dies.
Feel the burn of antibacterial.
Wow. Great, now Purell is a weapon in this world now.
Wait, and I found it? It's in my inventory? Oh, wait, hang on, I'm used to it now.
No, it works. Okay, so next up is the two priests. One of them, with the two Kuatoas, begins to scream uncontrollably. And then the two Kuatoas then turn around and start gunning for the second priest. Like they're losing control, and they begin their multi-attacks onto the priest who's trying to negotiate.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, and they both hit.
Oh no, I better get my Spare the Dying ready.
So both of them bite down on this guy. One of them bites down while the other one attacks with its pincer staff. And the second one then bites down while the first one bites with its pincer staff for a total of 15 points of piercing damage. And that priest falls down to its knees while they're being mauled by these two.
Oh no.
Next up is Mervish.
Okay, so I will cast the Hold Person on the priest, and so I need a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. That is a 16.
Oh, so he passed it. And in the meanwhile, the octopus can try to grapple one of the Kuatoa. Let's roll.
You know, I'll say that he has the opportunity to do both, only because he's underwater, and he's a lot more mobile underwater.
Okay, so it is a 7 plus 5, it's 12 to hit.
That hits. Man, these guys are weak.
Okay, so it's 7 damage, and the DC to escape the grapple is 16.
One of them gets a solid 15, and the other one gets a very strong 3.
Oh, very good. They're going to become food for octopus.
And all you hear them go is... Alright, next up is... Let's see, that other priest. Y'all hear the one that was controlled screaming his head off. You hear him go, "Hey, Larthia, what have you done? Oh!" And he just keels over, and there's not a whole lot he can do. With that, he actually raises a hand at the priest that's on the ground already, and everyone sees this white light beaming from his hand and points it at the priest that's on the floor that was getting mauled by the Kuatoas. And that priest that's downed is now healed by 8 points. And let's see, Sai, you can tell immediately that this is a cure wounds spell, but he just cast it on the priest. So priest,
they're friends again.
Yes. And with that, the amazing Orion, you have the floor.
Okay. I mean, then I will just shoot one of the Kuato.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a 24 to hit. For 15 damage.
All right. Describe how you kill him.
I shoot in his gills.
And it dies through its gills.
It can no longer breathe underwater.
Yeah.
It can no longer breathe at all.
All right. And that one's down. Next up is... Frostrath.
I'm going to swim up to the last Kuatoa. I will roll one attack. That's a nat one. Oh, it's restrained, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, thank goodness. That is a 19.
That hits.
That is 13 damage.
How do you kill him?
Yay, I decapitate him. as he's wrapped up in the octopus tentacle, I was like, rah, rah. I'm just going to come up and just head straight off.
As you do, then the giant octopus turns around and starts devouring both of them.
So now the only things left are the giant octopus and the two priests, is that correct?
That's correct. And the giant octopus is under control by our good friend Mervish.
Yes, and the two priests now appear to be getting on again.
Yes, and with that we're out of combat.
I was going to say, I stopped attacking.
All systems down.
Yeah, you guys are going to notice that whenever the combat ends, Thrustrath's just like, oh... And now he's moving very sluggishly with two levels of exhaustion.
Oh. Okay. Frostruff, you need a little drink, you look like.
I could do with a little rest. I just need to rest my eye. And he's just kind of like, he's just kind of hanging, floating in the water.
Well, at least he's getting clean again.
When you do that, let's see, the one priest that was being controlled walks over to Frostrath and restores him as well. It's like, I'm not sure what happened, but I thank all of you. Let me assist your friend here. And then decides to cast Lesser Restoration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to take away some of that peckish feeling there.
Okay, well, does Lesser Restoration take away exhaustion? I can't remember. Or be just saying it does.
Well, this guy does. I'll say okay. That.
Today.
Today it does. You've earned it.
One or both levels.
Yeah, just we'll say one for now.
One level. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So now at this point, it's not so much tiredness as it is hunger that you're feeling?
Yeah. Oh, I could go for some sashimi. And he sort of licks his lips looking at the tentacles.
Oh. Okay. So, all right. So we'll put this on the rails for a little bit. Everybody figures out that after the captain was killed, that dispersed the entire invasion. Yeah. So all the skeletons stop attacking towns. There were zombies that were beginning to walk around the city. Everyone just begins to disperse immediately. And with that, y'all stopped the invasion from happening.
Oh, we're so good.
Good job, guys.
We've earned a reputation.
Now... This the two priests, one of them is Alarthia. He's the one that was down on the ground, and he was an elf. At Lavast, he was the one that was being controlled, and he immediately tells you that he's not sure what happened. He just knows that he's been out of sorts ever since he was locked away down here in the lower chambers. And I guess locked away is a very strong word. He was entombed down here by let me see if I can say this. Kazixaro. Ah! K-Z-I-X-X-A-R-O.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to pronounce that Kazixaro as well.
Well, we'll call him Kizzy for now.
Kizzy.
Yeah, I was enslaved by Kizzy, and I was entombed down here in the lower vaults when this giant cataclysm sealed me away in here. Alarthia knew I was down here, but he also knew that I was under control by Kizzy, and he couldn't risk anything, and I don't blame him. Alarthia, thank you so much. The pirates were after Kizzy because of some controlling aspects that he had. And with the connection, at Lavast found out that Kizzy is part of this strong rising group of these creatures called the Abolethic Sovereignty. You find out that these are all Aboleths. And what they try to do, they try to infiltrate different cities and realms and begin to mind control the authorities into submission to further their own progress.
What was the group called? Abolethic?
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. I say sorcery.
Well, this is a neatly laid out plan, I have to admit.
But we have more work to do.
As y'all are talking, Alarthia stops at Lavast for a second. He goes, so the question remains, why would the pirates just come for Kizzy as opposed to the rest of the city? What could have possibly had everybody gunning for this Aboleth? Yes, the Aboleth Leech.
Well, I show him the map. Maybe this can help.
So they look over the map. What y'all figure out is that the map is actually an attack of the three different locations. You know that the Black Armada is very strong. You figure out that talking with Lord Neverember and everybody else in town, they pull together all of their resources. They figure out a couple of things. Number one, you find out more about the Sea King Tentrix, who is the commander of the Black Armada. The key to all of this is to take the fight back to Tentrix, who's trying to lure all of the cities out to sea. For what exactly, you're not sure. Based on what the information you received in the first part of this story from Captain Graysail, you do figure out that there is something that connects the strange crash as well as King Tentrix beginning to rise up. It doesn't seem like a coincidence that they're both starting to come around. You do know that the last place, Baldur's Gate, is going to be attacked by a Kraken priest, and they're trying to kidnap somebody named Ramazith, R-A-M-A-Z-I-T-H, Flamesinger.
Who?
What you know is from the Kraken priest, which is a Kraken society. Now, what could potentially be happening here is that the Abolithic Society was trying to muscle in on the territory of this Kraken society or some other new menace. You're not really sure. What does remain is that some islands have to be discovered. There has to be some exploring for the seas of the seas. Excuse me. You see here, the goal then is to find the Kraken society and who's controlling the pirates, who's in charge of the pirates, and then also the Sahuaga, who have begun to rise. Somebody is pulling all those resources together, and you're not exactly sure who or what it is, and that's all the information you have. And with that information, you can take that back to Captain Graysail and report in.
I mean, after we had a drink.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good point.
Yes.
We have a drink, and then we go see Captain Graysail.
Okay, great plan.
So everybody is going back to have a drink. Where exactly? At the Beach Leviathan?
Which was the place where we went before?
The Beach Leviathan.
Yeah.
That's where I skipped out of my tab. Hey.
Okay. So does everyone go to the Beach Leviathan or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all walk into the Beach Leviathan and immediately, Harag and Andrella, both of them, Sai, they see you walking through the door. They recognize you immediately.
Oh, shit.
And when they do, they come walking up to you. So, you're back in town, huh?
Yeah, just, you know, save you from a bunch of undead things, as I do. Yeah, I try to look really, really sweet and innocent with my, you know, 2'9" height.
All right, roll performance.
Oh, shit.
Was that a 12, you say?
Yeah, 12.
Oh, 12, I'm sorry. Okay. They see you and they size you up and down, looking all cute and cuddly. They said, "You know what? We lost track of your tab anyway, so here's a round on us."
Hey,
score!
And so for that night, everyone has free room and board. You're free to stay the night there and replenish, recover. And
I'm going to find the most expensive alcohol I can and drink it.
Oddly enough, it is called an Abolith spit.
What does it taste like?
It actually tastes cinnamony.
How wasted will I get if I drink a bottle?
Roll a constitution check.
Oh my god.
Let's see. A check or a save?
Let's go with a check.
Oh no, that's a 4.
Okay, now roll your save.
Oh no. 14.
All right, you survive.
Oh, fuck yes.
Nice.
Well, alcohol can't kill me, I say as I face plant into the floor.
So once again, the 9th Cannoneer team survive another adventure.
Woo! Against all odds.
Against all the odds, all of them. Well, excellent, guys. Thank you again so much, everybody, for playing along.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for DMing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And I will get in touch with everybody. Everyone have a good night.
And you?
Yeah, good night.
We'll see you.
Bye. Come on. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Last time I was going to speed everybody through everything, but I think what can happen is we can slow it down a bit. What say you?
Yep, I'll get off of that.
Take it slow.
Low and slow, just like I would like to smoke my brisket. Yeah, so if y'all catch my, whenever I smoke briskets, I always put pictures all over Twitter, so be on the lookout.
Yeah, I saw it. It's awesome.
So my goal is to one day invite a ton of people that I've played with on our podcast to do a party or a con or however you want to call it. And then while I'm smoking the brisket, which takes anywhere from 12 to 16 hours, we then play some D&D in that time.
I mean, if I'm ever in your part of the world, I would absolutely love to do that.
Well, if I'm ever in your part of the world, I'll do it for you over there.
I mean, you can come here and I'll slow cook something for you. I don't have a smoker, but I've got a slow cooker.
Well, I can make a smoker out of anything, man. I'll get it.
MacGyver that shit, man.
Every time.